Hi, my name is Marissa Bivens, and I'm excited to tell you about my project, Gut Microbial Enzymes Drive the Dose-Limiting Toxicity of the Munis-Present Mycophenolate Mofetil. Now, mycophenolate mofetil, or MMF, is a commonly administered immunosuppressant often given to patients undergoing organ transplants or those with autoimmune diseases. However, a large population of these patients have severe dose-limiting GI toxic side effects. And it's not clear what is causing the GI toxicity of MMF. While we're based on work by us and our collaborators, we predict it's the metabolism of MMF that's causing the GI toxicity. And I have that pathway, that predicted pathway, shown in the top left portion of my poster, where briefly, MMF is a prodrug that gets activated to mycophenolic acid, or MPA. It's the active form of the drug. And once it goes and does its thing, it's immunosuppressant, it gets glucuronidated, or inactivated, to mycophenolate glucuronide, or MPAG. And there, MPAG goes to leave the body, and in the intestinal tract, it encounters our gut microbiome. Specifically, it encounters the gut microbial beta-glucuronidase enzymes, or GUS enzymes, which can cleave off the glucuronic acid from MPAG and spit back out the active form MPA in the intestinal tract. There, we predict it's having the active form of the drug in the gut is what causes the GI toxicity seen in these in this cohort of patients, and also, it can be reabsorbed back into the bloodstream and cause complications of dosing. So overall, our goal is to figure out which GUSs reactivate MPAG and could be mediating the toxicity seen with this treatment. So first, if you go to the panel below that, I looked at 8 different patient fecal samples from kidney transplant patients who were actively taking MMF and measured their ability to process different glucuronides in FeMO or in excrement. So the blue bars are processing rates of these samples with 4-MUG, 4-MUG, which is a reporter GUS substrate that all GUSs should be able to process. And in purple is processing rates of MPAG, or our substrate of interest. And what we see from this cohort is that there is a wide variability in processing rates between both substrates, and also tells us that, yes, there are GUSs present in the GI tract that can reactivate MPAG. If we go a little bit further down on the left side, I take a look in vitro, the different types of GUSs that can process MPAG, where first I have a sequence similarity network in this panel, where each individual icon represents one GUS sequence found in the Human Microbiome Project fecal sample sequences, and they are clustered together in 2D space based on their sequence similarity to each other, and colored based on their different active site classes. There, I took 15 GUSs, at least one from each of the different functional classes, and tested their catalytic efficiency with MPAG, and that's what the bar chart in the very bottom left corner of the poster shows. And again, we see wide variability in ability to process MPAG in vitro with these GUSs. And one thing that makes this panel distinct from other drug glucuronide processing panels we've shown in the lab before is that there aren't really groups in catalytic efficiency based on their functional class. Where yes, we see the loop 1 GUSs in purple do kind of group together in their catalytic efficiency. However, the best processors are 1 FMM binding GUS in teal and 1 loop 2 GUS in navy. And there are other GUSs belonging to those same classes which are much worse in processing MPAG. And that's really unique to MPAG compared to other substrates we've looked at in the lab. And to try to figure out why there is this distinct difference between GUS in the same loop class, I look at the 2 loop 2 GUSs shown in this panel in navy. So we have the better processor is a GUS from Bacteroides uniformis, and we call it BU GUS 2. And the worst processor is from Bacteroides ovatus, and we call it BO GUS 2. And if we go to the top middle panel of the poster, I solved a crystal structure of the worst of the two processors, BOGUS2, and that is shown in this teal color as a dimer. On the more right side of the panel, we have the different domains that make up BOGUS2, where we have a core conserved GUS fold shown in teal, and we have the calcium site, or excuse me, the active site shown in bright blue spheres with catalytic glutamates, and we have 2 other C-terminal domains, a domain of unknown function, or a DUF in purple, and a carbohydrate binding module, or CBM, in this dark green color, along with 3 predicted calcium sites shown as bright green spheres. Now, when we compare the overall structure of BOGUS2, the worst processor, to the better processor, BUGUS2, in navy, we see it's very similar, and it contains the same C-terminal domains. However, one thing that is different between the two is the number of calcium ions present in the structures. So if we go to the very middle panel of the poster, I did an investigation of the different calcium sites in BO GUS2. And what we found is that having a calcium site in the core GUS fold has an impact on substrate processing, including MPAG processing. But the calcium site in the CBM domain, and which is in site 3 in the dark green, does not have an impact on MPAG processing, which we have seen before. So we go back up to the top middle panel. In the bottom right corner of that figure, I have a overlay of the active sites of both of the loop 2 GUSes, where the conserved active site residues shown in sticks are in very similar positions between the two. However, there is one difference between each of these GUSes in the region they share, the loop 2 region, where in navy, that loop 2 region is shown with two helices, and in BO GUS 2 in teal, there is a helix missing, or it doesn't form a helix like BU GUS 2 does. So does that have an impact? And also, there is a CBM loop 1 region shown in bright blue, which is present in BO GUS 2, but not in the better processor BU GUS 2. So at the very bottom middle of the panel, I do a more thorough investigation structurally of the active sites of both BU GUS 2 and BU GUS 2 to try to figure out what makes them different and what makes them good and bad processors of MPAG respectively. And we found that it's a combination of motifs in the loop 2 region and also regions that come from the C-terminal domain, the carbohydrate binding loop. It's a combination of active site loop and a C-terminal domain that has the impact that promotes MPAG processing or not. And that could be an explanation of why we see differences between loop classes in MPAG processing in our bottom left panel, because it's not just based on loop class, it's also C-terminal domains. So now that we kind of have an idea of what promotes MPAG processing, how can we stop it? So the right side of the poster is an investigation of different inhibitors that we have in the lab, where we have two established GUS inhibitors, one of which is UNC 1020-1652, and the other is UNC 7087. So the first bar chart in the top right is the same 8 patient fecal samples that I incubated each of them with 10 micromolar UNC 1020-1652 and measured their ability to process 4-mu-G, that reporter GUS substrate, and MPAG, our substrate of interest, in purple. And what we see is that UNC 1020-1652 can prevent 4-mu-G turnover, but not significantly inhibit MPAG turnover. And to try to figure out why this might be happening, we looked again in vitro in the right middle panel, where we looked at our two loop 2 enzymes, BU-GUS2 and BO-GUS2, and also two FMM binding enzymes, the best process for MPAG in our panel, a GUS from Roseberry hominis, or RHGUS2, and another FMM binding GUS from Ruminococcus naevis, which is RGGUS3. And the dark purple bars are the percent activity of each of these GUSes when incubated with UNC 1020-1652. And surprising to us, this inhibitor can prevent turnover MPAG in all four of these GUSes. And this is surprising because this inhibitor was developed to prevent loop 1 processing of small molecules, not loop 2 and not FMM binding GUSes. So surprised to see inhibition there. And then UNC 7087 was developed for FMM binding proteins and inhibit those, like RHGUS2 and RGGUS3. And again, we're surprised to see that this inhibitor can prevent MPAG turnover in our loop 2 GUSes, shown by the light purple bars. And we see a big difference in inhibition between our two FMM binding GUSes, which was not seen when we initially developed this inhibitor. So it seems like the substrate does have an impact on how well these inhibitors work, which we haven't seen before either. So UNC 7087 has shown to have the best ability to inhibit RHGUS2, which again is one of our best processors of MPAG. So does this inhibitor work in female? In the bottom right corner, our very last bar chart, we show the same 8 patient samples incubated with UNC 7087. And in fact, 3 samples had significant decrease in percent activity with MPAG, and it's more loss percent activity compared to UNC 1020-1652. However, it never got below 80%. So this tells us that A, our inhibitor doesn't really work to prevent MPAG turnover, despite that it's significant loss in percent activity. And also, it's probably not enzymes that are targeted by UNC87 that are promoting MPAG turnover. So with that, overall conclusions are GUSs and fecal microRNA can reactivate MPAG, but are not inhibited by our previously established inhibitors. There are a wider range of GUS subtypes that can reactivate MPAG compared to other drug glucuronides, and GUS active site loop composition and C-terminal domain motifs are important for MPAG processing. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.